Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy via wrestling.
I took a swig of drink at the wrong time because Joel paused. Moving on.
All right. Here's what I want to do this week. We usually, you know, have that question of the week kind of thing at the end.
At the end, yeah.
But there's so many questions that I have.
So many questions. Okay.
And you have questions.
I have a question. Let's be honest.
But we can start.
Okay,
we can
see,
start
here's
with
the
your
thing. I'm usually the all-knowing figure to answer these questions because, let's be honest, I'm a wizard. I'm a wizard.
I need to throw out a solid noise right here.
I'm a wizard. I predict so many things before they happen.
Like Zack Ryder winning? Oh.
I don't bother myself with such trivial things.
Zack Ryder? We were in New York this week. Zack Ryder is guaranteed.
He's guaranteed to actually be on the show. Which really, it should... The surprise of Mick Foley showing up really shouldn't have been the surprise.
I know.
Because, I mean, when he came out, I honestly had no idea that they were in Albany or anywhere in the state of New York, for that matter, so...
You're like, woo, until Cheap Pop, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you are. He just had to go in his backyard. Okay, so, question number one, or wherever you want to start, Joel.
All right. Go ahead and do your question. We'll start off with your
fine.
Question.
Okay, so...
Because I have a question that bleeds into that question.
Well, for one, you might want to put a Band-Aid on it, because that's just gross. Cover your wounds.
Or you'll be fine.
Or you'll be fine. But it's okay, because CM Punk will pay it. okay, so by now, we've all seen the ending. If not, whatever.
Spoiler alert?
No, I'm tired of saying that phrase. I'm tired of saying spoiler for everything. Screw you people, go watch things. Go watch the same things I do. Alright, and that totally wasn't my fault.
I accept no spoiler
okay,
alert
because,
of wrestling.
Okay, it's Wednesday now, so... by the time this is on the internet, they've had at least 3-4 days to watch it. So, you get no sympathy from me.
Truest of dats.
Truest of dats. Moving on. The ending of Raw. We had that scenario where CM Punk was attacking, or he landed a cheap shot on Mick Foley, and Punk walks away, but turns to maybe inflict more damage, and there is, you know, a brick house standing there. Ryback comes to the aid of Mick Foley by standing there. And for one, I thought CM Punk sold that fantastically. Like, he looked legit. Like, he just defecated himself.
My honest first thought, because this is quite a random thing to happen, like, completely unexpected, and, like, my first thought for about half a second when that happened was, oh, man, Ryback's gonna get fired for standing in that shot.
You just thought he was bumbling around.
I thought he was walking around back to the camera. It's like, oh, no! Here's where the TV is. So I thought Ryback was gonna be mad.
I thought maybe they were like literally. It's an inside business term, but I was thinking very literally. Maybe they were using him for blocking. Maybe the real reveal is some like shorter guy behind him.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, I would assume that this is filler for Cena's arm,
right? And that was the premise of my question is. You know, Cena has a month before Hell in a Cell. We're not going to see him in the ring. Basically, he needs, and the way I put it was, he needs a wrestling avatar, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they sought, you know, they believed that Ryback was good for that role. So, I got to thinking that if CM Punk was to face anyone for the next month, other than Ryback, who would you throw in there? just to face Punk for a month in the ring, and, you know.
Face Punk for 1 month in the ring.
Right.
With you know the feud has to end.
Knowing whatever's going on has to do with Cena in some way, and then end presumably the Monday before Hell in a Cell.
You know, because of current storylines, it affects my answers. Because, like, first answer would be Daniel Bryan, because I just want as many Punk Daniel Bryan matches that I can see, because those are two guys who don't need a story. I just need to see them in the
ring. Right, and that was the thing. Like, there really wasn't much story there when they did have a feud.
It was a refreshingly simple story.
Yeah, we were.
I have the belt. I would like the belt. Let's fight about it. But, you know, obviously, because of Team Friendship, which it will forever be known as.
Forever be known as. We don't care what WWE's.
Just when I was starting to trust that these Twitter things might actually be legitimate and not rigged in some way, I saw the Hug It Out and I was like, oh man, maybe they're actually letting us do it. No.
No.
I'm back to full blown.
Crazy
truth conspiracy levels.
It's conspiracy. Absolutely. They don't. Team Friendship.
Absolutely.
How perfect is that? Okay.
So anyway, because of Team Friendship, you know, I can't have it be Daniel Bryan, because I need...
Right, but in, like...
I need Daniel Bryan and Kane stuff.
In a perfect society, or whatever, where you can literally pick anyone, your first choice would be Daniel Bryan. Okay. I thought about the whole entire storyline. You've got Cena, now McFoley, basically saying, like, Punk, you've changed, you're turning your back, you know, you aren't who you used to be. Like, this wasn't you a year ago. You're letting all this stuff change you. You're letting Heyman affect your demeanor. I think the perfect person to throw in the middle of that and the perfect person for Punk to face in the next month would be Kofi.
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, Kofi traveled with Punk back in the day, probably as recent as before Straight Edge Society.
They still travel together pretty regularly.
Now Punk's
on Punk's bus.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, Kofi's a regular, you know, travel buddy of Punk.
Right, so basically as far as, like, anyone in the business, they're about as close. Okay, Kofi knows Punk as much as anyone not named Colt Cabana knows Punk. They were tag team champions a few years back. And it would be one of those things where, like, you know, we're in the reality era, so to speak, of wrestling, where the curtain gets pulled back so many times. This would just be another way to do that. It would pull back the curtain on these guys' real-life friendship, their real-life time together. They're, you know, I mean, Punk still calls Kofi his road wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, Kofi's completely okay with it because he says CM Punk is his road wife. So, I think the two of them facing off against each other, and Kofi just kind of having the demeanor of, you know, this isn't CM Punk, this isn't the guy that I became friends with, what's going on? And then they face off against each other. My only problem is with that is I would want them to have a feud on their own without Cena lurking. But, you know...
I mean, we're in a very miniature little version of what we had with Cena, you know, last year with The Rock.
Right.
Where it's like, it's, you know, there's an end to your feud. There has to be, because this guy's coming back. So, I mean, also, you know, using storyline, it would be interesting to see Mick Foley take a stand.
Right.
Take a physical stand. I mean, I said it before, though, like, I'd really hate for Mick Foley to, you know, come back from another feud and more matches and it not be a hardcore match, just because that's Mick Foley. And at the same time, that guy can't do another hardcore match.
No.
I'd love to see it, but I don't want to see him dead.
No, I would not want to see that.
Like, I would be too nervous to enjoy the match if they were to
absolutely
put on a full blown
as long as everything, like, went off without a hitch, we could watch it later.
Yes.
When live, we would be nervous wreck.
Terrified.
But I really thought this through. And I wrote an article on it, so I had a lot of time to think about it. But when you think about it, Ryback really is kind of the only guy for this, because I was going through, basically, obviously counting out all the heels, counting out guys who aren't necessarily over enough, but yet not too over to the point where they would either overshadow Punk or they would hurt their own status by losing to Punk.
What you need is a really good lower mid-card face.
And see, that's lower mid-card, I don't know. But see, that's why I thought Kofi.
Yeah.
Like, throwing in Kofi, that would elevate Kofi.
Right.
Because he's not quite at the same level as Punk and Cena.
Right.
You know, he's way over with the fans. He's just not a top card guy just yet. And I think this would be his one shot.
His breakthrough?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a... not his one. I feel like he's gonna.
No. Oh yeah. Absolutely. At some point. But I think this would be the one thing that gets him beyond where he's.
Honestly, I would really, really like Kofi to win Money in the Bank. Like, I think that would be a great way to put him into the top. Just because, he's the Money in the Bank guy. Because he'll sit there and do the ladders and...
Yeah,
he can never win because...
He's the
one of his
guy.
Number one, spot goes horribly wrong.
Right.
But I would really like to see him win Money in the Bank. And that be his, match the way, Buried Alive or Hell in a Cell is Undertaker's match.
Yeah, and he's almost pulling a double, because used to the Money in the Bank guy was Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
But now it's definitely Kofi. He has to be in a Money in the Bank match every single time they have one. And he's also, they count on him to be the spot of Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That handstand thing was friggin' brilliant.
Yeah.
So obviously they're going to use him like they did with, sorry, it's a touchy subject, John Morrison.
I wasn't gonna bring it up, but yeah, I was thinking it. It's to
that
to
one
be
big
safe
spot.
In the next spot. Yeah. Another guy in the same vein as what you're thinking of, in all seriousness, would be if they wanted to or cared about actually trying to build up Zack Ryder.
But see, that's another thing.
It has to be somebody who loses to Punk. Punk has to pretty solidly, unquestionably squash them. But
absolutely.
If you gave him. That's the only thing standing between Zack Ryder.
But you would
have
to have something a little bit more serious. That's why I initially didn't consider him. I went ahead and just took out all the comedy faces.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Because the intensity between him and Cena is built up to a way where
they would cheapen. I know. That's exactly what I'm saying, though. This is the time to actually, start to tone down the comedy. Because and mold Zack Ryder into a, Cena protege where... he could still say the silly things and mug to the kids, but he has serious face time.
Like Cena when he was still doing the rap thing.
Right,
okay.
Right.
All
right,
I'm with
you. So, and actually give him some legitimate in-ring time against CM Punk, who would make him look amazing.
Right.
So, I think, I still think that the fans are more behind Ryder than the company is.
Probably. And I, while I was thinking about this, I just came to the realization, basically, that I'm just coming up with a list of guys that I want to face CM Punk. Because the guy that I thought of right underneath Kofi, I thought Tyson Kidd would be great for this.
Yeah.
I was I just want to see Tyson Kidd and CM Punk face off against each other.
Yeah, that was my other thing. I was if not Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler. Storyline doesn't call for it now because they're both heels, but more Punk and Ziggler would be.
But and another thing, if they wanted to turn a heel face, for this lone reason, it's because it seems like they turned CM Punk for just because he was going up against
Cena. Yeah.
Who knows?
Here's my next question.
All right, bleed out.
That really works with this. All
right.
This week, Kofi and Ziggler had a fantastic match.
They really did.
It was easily the best of the night, probably one of the best free matches we've seen in a long time.
in a while. And see, and I'm glad that they revisited this feud. I'm glad that they waited a while, because there was a point in time, a year ago, maybe more, where it was Kofi and Ziggler every week.
Yeah.
And they were good matches, but it just got stale.
It got repetitive, and it speaks to a greater problem in the company that anything that's not a main event match doesn't really get time to build as a feud. You know, they're told, right. Oh, we're told these guys are angry at each other. And with this one, you know, they said, oh, these guys have been saying mean things on Twitter about each other. And I'm like, oh, that's not going to work. That's not going to help me get invested. But, you know, in-ring quality-wise, and I would really love to see a good 2 to 3 month feud between these guys. One that involved, you know, promos. One that involved outside the ring shenanigans.
Right.
Moving the feud along.
We didn't
along.
Get that whenever they were going off against each other in the past. It was just match after match after match.
Right.
Not really any substance to it, I don't think. If my memory serves me correct.
No.
I mean, nothing memorable, because I would have remembered it.
Right. But I think this is a good way to start to give Kofi some singles stuff.
Right.
Which, you know, I would really like to see him do. My question for you, is there any other two people in the back who you would love to see in a feud that either have not been in a feud for a while or have, you know, have never been in a feud with each other but you think would work well?
You're talking just two wrestlers that would...
Two wrestlers.
Okay.
Theoretically, you know, picked by dartboard.
Well, for one, there's Tyson Kidd.
And?
He's just going to be my go-to guy for a while now.
Yeah.
Who would he work well with? Huh.
You know who he'd honestly work well with? Not going to happen, but Evan Bourne.
The two of them?
Mm-hmm.
Those matches would be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It ain't gonna happen because,
I mean,
unless, you know, they're wanting to build Tyson Kidd up and they want Evan Bourne to be a squash, they're not gonna give him another chance.
No.
He'll show up just for a pop because he was over.
Yeah.
But if they're being very, very safe with Randy Orton, Lord knows what they're gonna do with Evan Bourne.
Unless the medical records of the WWE are destroyed in a fire, Evan Bourne is, yeah.
Even how are they gonna? How's the fire gonna start? Probably Evan Bourne from throwing his whatever he's smoking. That's a cheap joke. I'm sorry. That was bad. I apologize. I'll send out an apology email to all of our fake sponsors.
I would be interested to see them. They're both. They're both pretty much faces, I guess. There's no reason not to turn Evan Bourne heel.
Might as well, you know, because that was the old thing back in the day, like, at least up until, like, the mid-90s, where, you know, you knew a guy was on his way out, or very close to it, right when they turned him heel.
Yeah.
Because it's like a last-ditch effort to get him over somehow, which is kind of what I felt like with R-Truth. After WrestleMania 27, when they turned him heel out of the blue.
But then it worked.
But then it worked, and it was fantastic. And now he's not doing so hot now, but he's still riding that.
Because he turned face.
Because he turned face.
Sole reason. I fully believe that R-Truth heel would be main event right now. Well,
oh, yeah.
Our Awesome Truth would be tag champions right now.
Yeah,
I
did love them two together. The thing is, you know, R-Truth is not that young, but yeah, he's in fantastic shape.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, having to stop for water.
Well, no, that was the thing when he was facing John Cena at Capital Punishment,
mm-hmm.
And it felt like the biggest filler match. In, you know, of all time, like,
right.
There's this huge, like, seeing the champion's got to face somebody, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And, you know, it was across-the-board predictions that Cena was going to retain. But it was this one thing, it was like, what if this was the, like, let's actually give him the title? Because
Yeah.
He, you know, this is going to be, like, not many more title shots for him.
No, and that was probably the biggest high of his WWE career. Because, first off, he was just money leading up to, and even more so, he did the intro himself for Capital Punishment. And that, to me, just him doing that voiceover intro was probably the highlight of that entire paper, which is the same
thing. I was like, shame it was Capital Punishment.
Yeah, and then what followed was fantastic. You know, you got just all the promos, him, like, in the same ring as Vince McMahon, but dressed up as a Confederate general, referring to Jerry the King Lawler as Your Honor, talking about boxes of spiders.
That, like, political debate?
Yeah. It was,
That shouldn't have worked. That worked so well.
What was that? I was trying to figure out. No, that was leading up to Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
He was
all the Elimination Chamber contestants.
Yeah.
That was
probably the only, because I think he was face at that point.
Because
he had come back already.
He'd come back, yeah.
After he was suspended, he came back and he was a face.
Right, because he attacked me.
That's probably the highest point that he's been as his current face.
Yeah. And see, that's another thing I would love, if I'm not already having, you know, not already pairing Kofi with Ziggler, I would love Kofi and Truth to have a nice falling out. Give Truth
and Truth
an excuse to turn heel.
Yeah. I would be okay with that.
So, I guess it's not a completely random pairing, since there's a really nice storyline of them being.
And I mean, you know, it's a matter of time anyway, because it seems like every tag team has a Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty fallout now.
Yeah.
Which is, it's getting annoying.
What else do you do with them, though? I mean,
you know, when it doesn't work out, they just go their separate ways, you know? I mean, they're phases, so they wouldn't, like, go off against each other again.
Yeah.
That's like a fatal four-way or something, but.
I mean, it's a thing where, the way they have it, to get singles careers, they have to break up.
Yeah.
That's how it's, you know, set up now.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of that, you know, we didn't even talk about. We also got Road Scholar.
Dear Lord. Let's just stop there for a second. First of all, as soon as Cody said Road Scholar, just an arrow, Cupid's arrow just was shot straight for my nethers. And I was just in love. First of all, there's two of my favorite people teamed together. Holy crap, that just seems perfect. And two, Damian Sandow has a shirt. He has a t-shirt out. And immediately, because it wasn't even that prominent. You just kind of saw it during that one little brief moment, and then that was it. And so, Chris here, hi. I was sitting here next to my computer, live tweeting with all you scraggly, just rugrats. And I immediately went to WWEshop.com, and they had a little thing on their big headline of, you know, Sandow's new shirt. And I was, like, clicking on it, and it was like, nothing was that, like, nothing would work. Like, it kept sending me, like, oh, your search is invalid. Like, there's nothing here about that. And they're like, no, refresh.
No, I saw the shirt.
No, refresh, no, refresh, no, refresh. Like, it kept going for, like, a half hour. And I was starting to panic. I was like, I need this shirt. I have to have it. I will just give you my wallet, WWE. And so then I resorted to Twitter, where I got on her class on Twitter, tweeted at WWE Shop, and I literally said, I'm going to need you to fix the link to Sandow's shirt now, please, then thank you. And literally, like a minute later, it worked. So if anyone was having trouble buying it on Monday night, you're welcome. And I'm 34 bucks in the hole now. But I'm okay
with it. Classy t-shirt.
I'm okay with it, and it's not even like, I don't think they're even like technically on sale yet. It's like kind of like a pre-order.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Gotta get it.
And I'm okay. See, I think it said it officially goes on sale October 7th, 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just inside baseball here, fans. I am a huge Muse fan. Okay. That Joel knows this
Yeah.
without a doubt. They have their newest album coming out October 2nd. I haven't even pre-ordered that yet. And that was like $13-14. Okay. But I pre-ordered a Damien Sandow shirt that was like 20-some bucks, including shipping and handling and all that crap. That's just unhealthy. I'm sorry.
Plus, like, October 9th is when Punk's DVD comes out?
Yeah, haven't you pre-ordered that? let's see. I'm a huge Cody and Cambria fan. Their album's coming out very soon. Didn't pre-order that. I'm saving up money to go to see a close friend of mine up in D.C. I'm saving up money for that. That went out the window. I mean, I'm still saving up, but yeah. I kind of dug into the funds.
It's not like, oh, I'm sorry, Damien Sandow has a shirt. You understand.
And if Lauren's listening to this, no worries, I still have money for the train, so calm down.
You mean the train doesn't accept Damien Sandow shirts as payment?
I wouldn't give that to him, no.
What a backwards economy I'm in.
I mean, they should, but I'm not going to give it to him. Wall agrees with me. Ain't that right, Wall? Good boy. Girl, whatever you are. Girl. Yeah, I think that's what I said last time.
Anyway.
Sorry, I had to share that story because I thought it was the funniest thing, and maybe you don't, but screw you, I'm funny.
Boo.
Shut up, Joel.
Anyway.
I'm funny.
I'm obviously quite excited for Rhodes Scholar, especially because we have Rhodes Scholar and Team Friendship. Like, I'm really excited about tag teams.
Me too.
What the what?
But who's... I'm guessing Team Friendship's the faces?
Sure.
I mean, not that I care. I mean, I'm okay with just them being...
Those guys are in the ring together.
Yeah.
Being tag...
Four of them. All four of them.
Oh, man. And, like, obviously, I want a long, fruitful singles career for Damien Sandow. But if he wants to, like, take a pit stop and completely fix the tag team division first, I'm totally okay with that. Although it still has to have lots of promos and vocabulary lessons in it.
Well, obviously, because his promo... Rare moment, watched most of SmackDown, which just seems just so odd to do and say. The opening was fantastic segment between... Edge,
yeah.
Daniel Bryan, and
that was the best SmackDown in quite a while. I thought I was watching Raw for a second.
Yeah, I know. and you know they were about to all do like a 3-way hug, and then Sandow came out and gave a fantastic promo. Oh dear goodness, that was fantastic. So he's really just coming into his own.
Yeah. So
and just I can't wait for that shirt.
So more of that, please. Lots of more of these people, all in the ring.
Go get Damien Sandow's shirt, and tell him I sent you, so maybe he'll give me free stuff later on. Probably not, but it's worth a shot.
Seriously, like, I'm trying to think the last time I was this excited about tag team. And
probably for me, probably wasn't till like SummerSlam a couple years ago.
DX reuniting,
and them like actually going for the tag team championships because that was the one thing they never got, which seems really weird to say.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm glad that they were able to get it at some point.
Yeah,
but I love how they were so. And the story goes is that was when they were supposed to debut the new tag team belts because by then they were still going with like the four belts, whatever. Right. Yeah, turns out that Shawn Michaels and Triple H hated how those things looked, so they shelved them until someone else had the
Money Penny ones?
The Penny ones, yeah.
Yeah.
They hated how that looked, and I kind of do too.
Well.
It looks like they're wearing...
They waited until the Hart Dynasty came out. I was like, you don't get a say.
Exactly, when are you going to get fired anyway?
Aww.
Here, we'll give you belts that look like someone threw poo at it.
Yeah.
They're brown belts, come on.
Sure. Okay, next question.
Oh, Lord.
So, with Punk being a heel and hanging out with Paul Heyman, Punk has in the past proven that he does fantastically with a group of people.
Yes.
And we are kind of close to being able to build one with Punk and Heyman and Ryback.
not Ryback, and Lesnar. And the other dump truck guy that fights like a school bus in the company.
Fair enough.
So, fill out the rest of this faction and back up your choices.
To throw in with Punk.
Heel faction. And so Punk. you got the champion, you got the manager, you got the school bus fighter.
You need a, it kind of feels like you need a vet, like a guy who's been around a little while.
Does Heyman not fill that role?
No, I mean like in the ring. I'm gonna take that back. You need a really young guy. You need an up and comer. I'm gonna say this, and not just because I'm part of the internet wrestling community, because this is all that they're talking about lately. Dean Ambrose, he's supposed to be making his debut soon.
He already spent time in the past 6 months to the next 8 months.
Pretty much. He is the kind of guy that would fit in perfectly with CM Punk specifically.
Yeah.
Out of guys who are currently on the roster, Tensai, no.
Do you want to go back to the corner?
No, that's Jason's corner. Or J-Roll, as he likes to be called.
I'm not going to do that.
Do it. He loves it.
I'm not going to do it.
Needs the street cred.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm stalling. Go ahead.
Alright, you need a diva. You need a girl.
Do you?
Yeah, and I do AJ.
NWO didn't have a girl.
Yeah, NWO, that's quality. Quality.
Well, when people talk about heel factions, that's like the number one that they go to.
Yeah.
He was the one that had the manager and everything.
I mean, but like, what would you say was the, like, downfall, the breaking thing of NWO?
I mean, in actual storyline-wise, or behind the scenes? Because behind the scenes is that they're all divas and they're running the show, and they refuse to put anyone else over.
Well, obviously, yeah, no, it's that the main guys, the top guys, were all heels.
Right.
And so...
And who realistically could go up, and at that time, in the late 90s, like, who realistically could go up against Hogan, Nash, and Hall? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And then you threw in the Giant at the time, Big Show. And then you got in, you know, you got Bischoff. And basically everyone was part of the NWO at one point, and it was totally ridiculous.
You do that one, other major heel factions. Well, you got Nexus more recently.
Yeah.
And then Straight Edge Society.
To be honest, the most perfect, I thought, the perfect heel faction would be Evolution.
Because
that was just brilliant, whoever came up with that. Because you had, like, a legend with Ric Flair. You had a current mainstay with Triple H. You had The Brute.
Yeah.
Who really didn't have much of a name for himself at the time with Batista. And then you had the
new guy.
Like, the blue chip. Like, the guy who's going to be something special with Randy Orton. I think that was the perfect...
Evolution
plan.
Was great. Evolution also felt like they had a purpose, like with the next stage and with the were just really good. I was like, that's
really work.
That works for hanging out together. Like, you know, all these other people, like, you know, had a B for like an actual cause, and they were just, we're really good at hanging out together, aren't we? Yeah. Here's what I would do, because I'm gonna stand by AJ. I want AJ to revert to crazy CM Punk girlfriend. But stay general manager, which then gives us the heel general manager that we severely lack to show blatant favoritism.
Right.
And put her in the faction, but keep her.
But they would have to have a plan to phase her out then, because, I mean, yeah, heel general manager is what we like, but they heel managers lately don't seem to last that long.
Well, I wonder how long...
I mean, then, you know, she would still be part of the faction.
Right.
Right.
But seriously, like, the just general managers don't last that long anymore.
Well, Rob general managers don't. Yeah. Teddy Long lasts forever.
The one time I was like, I don't want this general manager.
I mean, no, trust me, I was like that at the time. There was, I can remember, there was one point where I was just tired of William Regal. Now, I'm eating my words. Back when he was general manager, when he was, like, having himself declared as King of the Ring winner and stuff like that, that time, I was just annoyed with him. Like, I just, like, okay, I've had enough. You know? The only one, I can legitimately say this, there was only one general manager where I really just wasn't that tired of him. Mike Adamley, man. I know that that's... I'll say this time and time again. I know that it's not a popular decision.
Fan club of one.
I'm going to start with Mike Adamley. Okay, not... See, that's the thing. Because he was a football player. He played for the Bears. Yeah. So, I can't even, like... Oh, I'm going to start a Mike Adamley fan club. And it's like, no, that exists for, you know, his football playing days. It's like, no. Mike Adamley fan club for WWE.
For general manager.
Because he was fantastic. Not so much as a reporter, because he called Jeff Hardy Jeff Harvey. And other gaffes like that. But he was fantastic. He had a picture of Ronald Reagan on his office. I thought that was the most random thing ever.
But here's the thing. For the most part... Especially when you have heel general manager, you just have Mr. McMahon, like. Like, especially with, like, Johnny Ace and stuff. Like, you just, you know, it's... Vince does it the best, and nobody can, like, touch that. And so I think with AJ showing favoritism to this faction because of a relationship with CM Punk would be a different take that still lets you boo general manager decisions. That still lets unfair general managership happen. So.
Yeah.
I would also, for my up-and-comer, like, he's not here anymore, but, like, Luke Gallows was great.
He really was.
CM Punk.
He was.
Like,
he was. I mean,
can I bring those guys?
Apologies to anybody who actually watches TNA, but there's a group now, as far as I understand, that's like beating up people that are like masked and stuff like that. Isn't he one of them? Because I heard that he signed a contract and he was part of those at TNA.
I don't know. I watch TNA so sporadically.
Yeah.
I need to start watching again because Jeff Hardy's getting a push. So. And, you know, I'm gonna sit, like, I don't, like, even root for him that much, but,
yeah.
Like, thick and thin, I'm gonna watch him.
I watched TNA whenever the rumors were going around that Hardy was getting signed by them. I watched when Brian Kendrick went over, I'm still a big fan of his.
Yeah.
And now that he's not there, I don't have a reason to. You know, obviously guys like Austin Aries, you know, from what I've seen, he's fantastic, and I know I'm very late to the party on that. I know that, man, they've got legit talent there. It just seems, from what I've seen on the internet, some GIFs and stuff, that there's just some big-time screw-ups going around.
Well, I will say, I think doing a live show has really helped them. They went live over the summer. And I don't 100% know why. Like, I can't point to, like, this happens now and it didn't happen then kind of thing. But, like, it's a more enjoyable show live.
Right.
I think some of the biggest problems is it still feels like WWE rejects are getting the most time because they're the bigger names.
Yeah.
So, like, Samoa Joe and AJ are not getting these, you know, crazy pushes that... I mean, they're not invisible there. They're definitely on the show and stuff, but...
But, I mean, these are guys that had, like, incredible pushes, like, years ago, though. Like, AJ Styles, I still think he looks really young, but then you think back, he's been with the company for, like, what? Since the beginning.
Yeah.
And Samoa Joe's been there for really long. Like, as long as, you know, Punk's been around.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know that they were in...
they were in Ring of Honor together.
They were in Ring of Honor and...
By the way,
yeah.
If you can find their matches in Ring of Honor and watch them.
From what I understand, their stuff from Ring of Honor is heavily touched on in Punk's
TV. It's definitely touched on. That's one thing where, like, that would be a special feature worth getting just for that match.
Yeah.
To get the DVD for.
Absolutely.
But...
But yeah, it just seems that just, I don't know. It just, there, it's hard to explain. It's hard for me to explain it because it just seems like the two are so far apart as far as, well, I mean, really so many factors. I mean, they, I mean, for one, they have an entirely different attitude.
They do. They, I mean, they are still very attitude era want to be.
Right, and I feel like that.
I don't say it because they're not wannabe. Like, I was like, I have to use all the syllables in these because they want to be the attitude. They want to be a successful WCW.
But the thing
I think would be great if they could. I think that's the thing. Is like, I totally root for TNA to succeed because I think genuine competition for ratings would improve.
And that's both companies. I mean, then that's what spawned the Attitude Era because it was just the two one upping each other.
Yeah,
and giving it their all, giving it their best. With the thing is, they're not matching each other with product right now. And right now, TNA is trying to be the Attitude Era. Years and years after the fact, like,
yeah,
closing in on, or like 15 something years now, almost.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, going on.
It's in the past, you know. Like that, some of that same stuff just may not work anymore. I mean, there's obviously an audience for them because, you know, it's not like they're just wrestling in front of empty chairs or anything. But
I think
if they want to. Well, I mean, well, looking...
I've seen pictures where they shuffle everybody into the camera side.
I've seen their pay-per-view figures. it's just... They need to do something different. And I know... And I'm not saying they're not, because there have been some times where they're doing some interesting things. It just... They need to... And maybe they're still in the process of throwing stuff out against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Like,
that's a process.
Yeah.
I understand.
And to be fair, in all honesty, it's hard to jump into the middle of wrestling. You're jumping in the middle of a soap opera.
Yeah.
And so, like, as someone who took off a serious chunk of time between watching as a kid and watching it now,
right?
Like, you witnessed, were witness. They were like, when I came back and I was like, I know two people in here.
Right.
I care about one storyline in the 2 hours.
And
it just took time to, you know, just...
And that's how I was in 2007 when I came back, you know, after, Lord knows, when I left, Cena was just becoming a thing.
Yeah.
And then I came back in 2007, right after WrestleMania 22, whenever Detroit was, 23, yeah, 23, because it was 20 years, it was 20 years after the last time they were in Detroit, which was WrestleMania 3, so that's when they set the big record. Anyway, that's not important.
But then it was like, I had to go through that, I had to go through the same growing pains watching SmackDown.
Right.
You know, and I was like, oh, I don't know any of these people. And, you know, maybe if I would seriously put in the time there, not even the effort, but just like the time to know the people and to like get... You know, see all the feuds from the beginning.
Right.
There's stuff there, but it's hard.
You're not kidding. So I don't know.
All right.
How did we get talking about TNA?
I don't know. It's stuck in there. I have one final question for today.
All right.
So Hell in a Cell is in about 4 weeks, give or take.
Which is, it seems like there's a longer layoff period.
I think it's because we're gone from 13 to 12. Because remember, this is the time where we got, like...
After Hell in a Cell, we're going to get one, like, every 2-3 weeks.
No, that's what we've been... That's what we've been getting in the past couple of years.
That's what we got, but...
In the past couple of years, Hell in a Cell was one of the ones where it was, like, every 2 weeks it was a pay-per-view. But since they're doing 12 pay-per-views this year instead of 13 of last year...
Really?
Yeah, they dropped pay-per-view number. So they're doing one-on-one.
I feel like we had this discussion earlier, and I'm just forgetting it.
We have.
Okay.
just trust me this time. There's 12 pay-per-views.
Okay.
So, 4 weeks.
Are you sure?
Hell
in a Cell. Okay, no.
Me and the wall need to let you know.
It's 2-1.
Okay, back up, Wall. It's okay. We're not actually going to fight.
Here we go. Here we go. You have 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
I don't care how you do it, but give me a storyline where Sheamus and Del Rio are not fighting in a Hell in a Cell match. Fix it.
Sheamus walks into a broom closet. He comes out with a mop. And he was like, look at this thing. Isn't that funny? It's a mop. And he wrestles the mop at Hell in a Cell. Alberto Del Rio wrecks his car, gets injured, and he's never seen again on WWE television. Ricardo Rodriguez becomes a manager slash wrestler because he actually has in-ring skills. He becomes the ultimate foil to Santino, and the two of them feud for eternity.
I guess I shouldn't say I don't care how you do it.
and it's
but I'll take that room fight. I'll take that mop fight.
And it's important to note that the mop is the new heavyweight champion.
Wait, it has to beat him?
Yeah, the mop beats Sheamus.
In 18 seconds?
I mean, give him some dignity. I'll give him 19.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
The mop is... I mean, it's this... It's like, wait, no, it was a broom.
It was a broom, yeah. I was going to let it go, but yeah, you're totally wrong.
No, I don't care. It's going to be a broom.
Triple
H. Not a broom. It's going to be a mop.
Triple H fought a broom.
Yeah, forget that broom. That broom went to TNA. I'm talking about the mop. The mop is his cousin.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take it. I said anything. I'm so done with this feud.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm done.
And
what's your scenario?
My scenario is have Sheamus lose to somebody on SmackDown. I don't care who. Just luck of the draw, total fluke win. Sheamus needs belt gone. They need to try again with Sheamus.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, is like, I think it's a worthwhile thing to try and make Sheamus a legitimate champion. I think he's good enough. I think he's over enough with fans. I don't think it's a waste of time to push Sheamus. But you gotta try again. This is not working.
Alright.
So, I don't care who, but somebody else gets the belt in some sort of fluke. And I would even be okay if they fought Del Rio, although I'd love for somebody else to get in there.
Right.
But I need to break up that feud, and I need the title off of Sheamus.
That's not a bad plan. There's just a disappointing lack of mops in that plan. But yeah, you're right. Something else needs to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... Like, Sheamus is trying, but you can only try so much when things don't work. And also, you're going up against a guy who, let's be honest, he's been phoning it in.
Yeah. And I know you're saving it for a Ziggler-Orton feud, but you have a way out. Being carried to the ring every week. There is your way out of this feud. Easy peasy.
Being carried what?
The Money in the Bank briefcase.
Oh, okay.
They can cash that in.
Okay.
Easy, like...
I was just thinking about Del Rio's car. What's going on?
No, I'm saying no construed crazy storylines have to be cooked up. It's right there. It fixes it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fix it, but it makes it different.
Sheamus gets his rematch clause. That's the next pay-per-view. Close that up, and then we'll just go on to whoever Ziggler's going to face next.
Ziggler and Orton, which is what apparently they want. So, that's... Please. Please.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for me this week.
That's me as well. I just wanted to throw out one more thing. Apparently Bray Wyatt is coming back to NXT. And I know initially, because we witnessed his dark match when he was in Greensboro.
Yeah.
And initially I was like, okay, what? Why is Husky Harris doing this? Now seeing some of the promos that they did for NXT, which you can see if you live overseas, or if you get this Hulu Plus thing that they're talking about. His promos are fantastic. Like, just him in the woods talking with, like, a group of people, like,
yeah,
sitting around. And it just... He's terrifying in a really weird way. And I'm loving it. Like, I would like to see him actually in the WWE with that. It's just it's something different. I just wanted to throw that out.
I'll check it out. I like Husky Harris.
I like Husky Harris. It's just that one match, that dark match that he had when he was in Greensboro, just didn't rub me the right way. But everything I've seen,
I didn't care for that. Like, but
I'm digging his music. I don't know what it is, but I'm digging the music.
But Harris in the ring was like,
it was impressive.
It was like if you took an army tank and put it in a Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah,
like he was crazy.
Yeah, so. And I mean he's lost a little bit of weight, grew the beard out, grew the hair out some more. His brother's already in on NXT. Bo Dallas, I think, is what they're calling him. Basically, and if you don't know, they're both the sons of the tax guy, the tax wrestler. Forgot his name. IRS. Yeah, that's their daddy.
All right. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. Every Monday, we'll be live tweeting Raw. Maybe Friday, maybe Thursday. I feel like I might try this Thursday. Rejuvenate an effort.
For TNA.
For TNA, okay. Yeah.
You have fun with that. if you have questions, comments, hate mail for me, Joel, or even The Wall, send us an email at classyringattire@gmail.com.
We also have a Tumblr. classyringattire.tumblr.com, where you can check out old episodes of this podcast and other wrestling shenanigans.
If you're listening to us at on wrestling.insightbolts.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.